Hey, it's Robert here at Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And we wanted to bring you a never released pre-COVID Throwback Thursdays segment. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Let us know in the ratings and review what you think, and enjoy.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Short ones because I'm currently at PodFest 2020 and I'm actually here with my roomie. We actually met through a Facebook group and it was Women of Color Podcasters and some other great acronym with it. And we connected. We're literally different parts of the country and different podcasts, but we do talk about money. We talk about financial literacy, and I love the name of her podcast and her co-host as well as her guests. So I'll have her talk a little bit more about it, but we're gonna have this episode be kind of the aftermath, because literally it's the last day. We just finished watching the keynote, the session's over. How many days of conferencing have we been? Almost 3-4 days? I don't even know anymore. We're so tired, we're so overwhelmed with so much information. We learned a lot, it was fun, formative, made some incredible connections. I got to meet two of the people I've been trying to connect with, and that was awesome. And now I know her, and I can't wait to work with her on stuff, because obviously our passion is about teaching money, teaching about financial literacy. But for you, little bankers, so tell us a little bit more of what you're doing and why your podcast is different from so many others.
Okay, so my podcast...
Oh, wait, and your full name too, please.
Oh, yeah. So my name is Rachel Solomon, and my podcast is Podcast Kids.
Yes.
Which is under my brand, My Little Banker. And it says kids at the end because I teach kids financial literacy. And so on the podcast, you get to hear me teach my kids about money.
Brilliant. And I've been telling my girlfriends I need to have them on because I teach their kid. They always ask me like, oh, what can I teach my kid? Like, here. So now I can have them directed to your podcast, which is brilliant. Okay, perfect.
Yes, yes. So I give my little spill at the beginning. And my podcast is really short. It's only 15 minutes because
all we need.
I want kids to listen.
Yes.
And so I give my little spill or my little teaching at the beginning, and then I involve my kids and we talk about the subject, whatever it is. And then we get, you know, it's funny because my kids are only 7, so they say some really interesting things sometimes.
Like what?
like I have a spender and he's like all about giving too. Aww. You know, the less money in his pocket, the better. But then I have a saver. And so when we had the conversation about giving and why it's important to give, he was like, I'm not giving my money to nobody.
Interesting. It's having them both on, I mean, at 7 years old, that's actually really good because you see the habits they're already doing now.
Right. So then I had to go through the whole spill of why, you know, you give and then you receive and it's a cycle and it's about love and, you know, generosity and all that.
I love it.
And so you get to hear me do that.
Awesome. And so we not only were roommates, we were also speakers at this conference.
Yes.
So we represented the smaller, I think the last stats that I came out a couple weeks ago, I think it's through Spotify. It was less than 22% of podcasters are women. Yes. And that's even a smaller portion of women of color. And I think the most recent stat I could find was less than 8% are women of color. So the fact that we're presenting these check off lists because we need it. But we're also catering it to anyone that needs this information. So it's not niche to just necessarily our communities or cultures.
Right.
And your session is really great and brilliant because you also had a child with you there. And so what is maybe, obviously people can, they can get the pass and watch the entire thing. But for some that's either watching this or listening for a quick info, if they want to start having kids as their co-host or solo host, you're teaching your kids about entrepreneurship as well, right? And
right.
So what are the maybe two tips that you would recommend someone if they're thinking about getting their kids as their own podcaster or co-host? What would you recommend?
Okay, so yeah, first of all, it was kids in podcasting. So there's two sides to that. If you're a podcaster and you want kids to be your guests, then how do you find the guest? You know, how do you find your guests? I would say use Instagram, use the hashtag kidpreneurs, and kids in business. And then you can go to Google Alerts and set the alert for kids and then whatever industry or whatever niche your podcast covers. That'll help you find kids.
Okay.
For your side.
And how do you approach those kids, you could say?
So if you're, most times if you're finding those kids and they are already out there in the world, they have email addresses, you can direct message. Know that you're going to have to go through the parents, though.
Please do, right? Yes. You don't want to be that true.
You don't want to be aware of. So when I do my messaging to them, I just always assume that there's a parent checking.
Good.
But I always started off with, hi, my name is.
Yeah.
I'm interested in having your child on my podcast as a guest.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
And anyone under 18 is a child. So I think that's key to have. You know, sometimes I think about them like, you don't have a press release form or something that people forget to get those signatures, those waivers.
Yes.
And that's brilliant how you say you have to address it as the child,
right? I would love, yeah. So you're acknowledging that they're a business, that they're a person, that they're an entrepreneur, but you're also acknowledging the fact that they're a child.
Yes, okay.
And so you should have that 5-minute conversation with the parents where you're like, this is what I want. This, you know, your child's going to be in a safe place.
Yeah.
Blase. You know, just to assure the parents that you're not going to be saying anything weird, doing anything weird.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And then, yeah. So then you build that trust first.
Okay. I love that.
And then once you have that trust built, then you can schedule and, you know, get whatever you need.
And when you're scheduling the podcast, is their parent also, they're not at all in the podcast themselves. The parent's just there to help monitor, or how does that work?
Yeah. So I have had both, because I've had it where it was just the kid. Mm-hmm. And then I've had it where I wanted to get the parent's point of view. Because when I interview kidpreneurs, I have parents, you know, I get parent questions. Like, you know, how long did it take for your parents to say yes? Because some kids every week they want to do something different, and parents are like, no, I'm not doing that. We just wasted money on tennis.
Yes.
And now you don't want to play tennis anymore, you know? And then you want to do soccer or baseball or, you know, whatever. So you gauge. So then I ask parents, how long did it take you to say yes? Especially kids. Like I interviewed a day trader, and so he's making a good bit of money.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wait, and this is a child that's a day
trader? It's a child. He's 11.
That just blew my mind. Okay, we need to tone yeah. into that episode. Okay.
Yes, awesome. Yes. So he's 11. And so I was like, how long did it take you, mom, to say yes to him becoming a day trader? And in that case, it was her idea. She was like, you should do it. Let's just do it. And then so there's those interviews with parents where they give nuggets too.
I like that.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like there's more preparation? And I'm assuming that, but I don't know. Is there more preparation for the podcast behind the scenes with the child as opposed to an adult? Because you've done both, obviously.
Yes.
So, yeah. So what would you say? Is that 50% more prep, or what does that, I guess, look like that you see it's different than as opposed to an adult that you're interviewing?
I think it's not more prep. You're just going to still research the child just like you would an adult.
Okay.
There's more post because the
editing. What do you
mean
by post?
The stuff you do after.
Oh, post. Yeah, so on your editing. Okay.
So there's, you'll probably have to ask more questions depending on how talkative the child is.
Right.
Because a lot of times when you ask them a question, they're just going to answer the question. Which, I'm sure you interview adults.
I love kids. They're straightforward. Is that right?
Right.
Adults are like that too.
Yeah, you interview some adults and it's like, okay, you could have given me a little bit more.
Is that right?
Right.
Adults are like that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you interview some adults and it's like, okay, you could have given me a little bit more.
Right, they're but like, the answer is no. We're like, can you build on that?
Yeah. Right. So yeah, but with an adult, you can say, can you build on that? With kids, you still have to ask that question again, but in a different way.
Okay.
And then you let them, so there's more editing time. So sometimes to get the answer that you
yes.
really wanted.
So do you have a script that gives you more questions? Because I know for adults, you kind of, it becomes very organic, so you
mm-hmm.
think about on the spot more. So you have to have some of that, I would say, ready for that, right?
Yeah, you kind of, you just, I guess for me, I've been doing it for a while. So
okay.
I kind of,
yeah, I'm actually assuming maybe people are trying to venture out. I mean, for me, that's something when I met you
right.
and when you told me, I was like, I don't want to do but I've been thinking, like, there's a few kids that I know are really smart. They're actually
mm-hmm.
maybe 15 or 16
right.
to interview, but it's that whole process. And I didn't even bother venturing doing that because I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go through this whole different.
And you don't.
And the fact that you were explaining it to me, the benefits of having a roommate to do that, we've been picking each other's brains in that whole sense. But it's kind of like, oh, I can do that and also highlight kids. Because the whole point is, if we want to talk about money, it should start as soon as possible.
Right.
Right? Okay. Right. And so, the question I always ask everyone, usually in the beginning of the podcast, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure I ask you before you go, because her flight is literally in like an hour, so I want to make sure we did this. What is the one time, maybe something you got paid, it didn't necessarily was a 9-to-5, but made you think differently about making money, or obviously being an entrepreneur, what made you think like, ah, I can do this more often?
Well, what, okay, so what triggered me into entrepreneurship was I was in a ton of debt, I didn't have any money, and I had a new baby.
Wow.
And so, one, I did not want to leave my new baby, and but two, I needed to pay these bills, and so, three, I wanted to teach my kids. I'm like, oh, I have
she's
to
my
teach
hero.
My kids.
I did not know all that, so that's awesome.
I had to teach my kids about money, and so I started writing stories. I'm not gonna say books. I started writing these stories on a piece of paper.
Oh yes, and she's an author. Yes, so her books. You gotta get the books, and books are very
my little banker. Yeah,
I love it.
It's all my little banker.
I love it, and that's something that you know, it helps obviously for us being speakers. Very few that they picked. Mm-hmm. Because we're authors, because we have podcasts, because so, you know, for the women out there or just single parents that are going through, we just said how to make extra money. You're mm-hmm. creating passive income. You're creating different streams of revenue, and you're involving your children in it, which is beautiful. And that's something that I hope everyone decides to do, because it becomes so much harder when we're adults. Right. So thank you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for being a part of this. We're going to have to do a follow-up for sure. Because
because I didn't get the second half of you.
Yeah, there's so many questions. There's so many questions I didn't get to, but that's why we're making this a quick one before you go. And it's hopefully it won't be another year that I won't see you, but we will do it at least virtually, because I'm sure there's people listening thinking, I have a whole new audience that I can reach out to, mm-hmm. or a whole new different guest group that I've never ventured and I should. So because we want to hear these kids' voice. And that's what this PodFest theme this year was called, Our Voice Matters. That was the theme. And I thought, how does that not play? It was meant for us to be here. 2020, I'm all about numbers. Yay. And the symbol that comes behind it. And we actually got to stay at a beautiful resort in Orlando. This is amazing. Was it the Marriott? And so it's important to be able to, for those that are on the road, just public speaking or doing conferences, take advantage when you have these amazing brains and brilliant ideas, and not only network and obviously attend these sessions, but, you know, get a chance to figure out how, before we leave, I actually did want to say, we were saving money doing this too, because we were part of the space group and we were all planning to come. We're like, let's share a room. How many people did we run into? They're like, oh, I'm all by myself. And I'm like, wow, you're paying double.
Yeah.
You're hardly in your room. You and I hardly saw each other, because you're doing everything. You're getting ready for your own presentations. And so it's kind of like you only really need a place to store your stuff, maybe sleep for a few hours, and then get back out there. So we save that money. And she was so sweet, too, to make sure that, hey, let's, you want to split lunch or dinner or whatever, because they usually come big plates, and I'm all about frugality. So obviously you told us how people can connect with you, but what's the best way to connect you, through social media?
Yes, social media, I actually answer all of it myself, and it is My Little Banker.
Make it easy. I love it, and I love her logo, which is wearing, rocking this cute little shirt. So stay tuned. We'll do a deaf follow-up, and if you have any questions towards kids, towards anything about money, please connect with her as well and myself, because I want to make sure we do more of this type of presentation. So thank you once again. Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Have fun, be fabulous, and frugal.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.